MTV Documentary Films presents Beyond Coils of Razor Wire, Clouds Float in a Blue Sky. Words appear, Department of Criminal Justice, Polunsky Unit, Death Row, Livingston, Texas.
All right, so, let's see. Y'all can still hear me, right?
Text appears, 6 days to execution.
Y'all can still hear me? All right.
The man looks at the camera.
If y'all are seeing this, then obviously, state of Texas has murdered me. I'm sorry that y'all had to go through that. I just want to say thank you for being there for me all these years. Thank you for everything. It's been rough, but it's been good having y'all with me. All of y'all that stuck with me. And once again, I'm sorry you had to go through this, but my pain is over. My suffering is over. All of y'all that know me, y'all know I made the most changes I could. I bettered myself as much as I could, and hopefully that's enough.
John Henry Ramirez.
I love y'all.
Inmate number 999544. A title fades on. I am Ready Warden. The red, white, and blue Texas state flag with its single lone star flaps in the wind high up on a flagpole. Text appears over several police cars, Corpus Christi, Texas, 2004, nighttime. People gawk at a crime scene van in front of the Times Market. A police officer strings yellow tape around gasoline pumps. Text reads, on July 19th, 2004, 46-year-old Pablo Castro was stabbed to death outside the Times Market convenience store while he was working the night shift.
FBI and law enforcement across the country on the lookout for this man.
A massive manhunt with a Coast Guard chopper is underway.
A TV shows an APB with a photo of a teenage John. Text appears. John Henry Ramirez, a 19-year-old former Marine, is identified as the assailant. A headline reads, slaying suspect eludes police. More text. After 4 years on the run in Mexico, Ramirez is captured in 2008 and put on trial for capital murder.
Ramirez went on the run for nearly 4 years before he was captured, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death.
A newspaper says Ramirez is the first person to be sentenced to death in Nueces County since 2003.
You have taken a life.
A man talks to a reporter.
Yours is now on the line.
Aaron Castro, victim's son. Now older, Aaron walks toward a convenience store. He goes inside and wanders around. He brings items up to a woman behind the counter.
How are you today? Sure, please. Thank you. Have a good night.
Aaron busies himself in the kitchen. Later. He stares at a picture on the computer of a preschool-aged boy and his father, both in tuxedos.
I was a happy kid. I was a very happy kid. I was very goofy, a goofball, you'd say.
He peers at a picture of a smirking man with brown hair and a goatee.
I feel like the older I get, the more I start to look like him. You know, it's a striking resemblance.
He gazes at another picture of him and his father in tuxes. The screen switches to a crime scene photo of a man's lifeless body on the ground surrounded by blood.
I was 14. I remember waking up to police sirens and lights. So it was confusing. I was like, what's going on? This is not normal. I remember hearing my mother say, mataron a Pablo.
Subtitle, they killed Pablo.
Everything was just going really slow in slow motion. I remember sneaking out of the house and seeing his body on the ground.
Another picture of his father, now covered with a sheet.
I didn't really know that that was him. What gave it away was the hat.
A crime scene photo of a yellow and black baseball cap lying near puddles of blood.
This hat is just...
He uses his hand on the screen to zoom in past his father to the hat.
When I was in the courtroom and the trial and the crime scene photos came up, I remember having to get out of the courtroom and run to the restroom to vomit because I thought I could handle it.
He glares at the crime scene photo of his dad on the computer.
I stare at this picture a lot, hoping that it's someone else, but it never will be anybody else.
Aaron continues to stare at the computer stoically.
John Henry Ramirez viciously murdered my father. He should pay for what he did.
Text appears over docked fishing boats, Corpus Christi, Texas. A wall is covered with decorative crucifixes. A woman with short gray hair is bent over a drawer.
I believe John has been in God's hands from the very beginning.
She rises with a box lid of mementos.
He's had 3 days of execution, and God has just worked things out. We'll go sit in here.
Jan Trujillo.
When John was in jail, he asked for the chaplain. Chaplain was a member of my church, and I had been teaching Bible study in the women's jail. So the chaplain asked me, would you be willing to go see John Henry?
Member of Second Baptist Church.
You know, I thought to myself, what am I going to say? You know, this man stabbed somebody 29 times. What am I going to say to him? I don't know what to say. And so I said, Lord, you just take over. You tell me, you take over the conversation. And he was so easy to talk to.
She unfolds a paper butterfly.
I've gone every single month since 2011, except two times when I had knee surgery.
She flips through pictures.
1 month, John asked me, since all of my family has abandoned me and you've always been there for me, would you be my godmother? And I said, yes.
She holds a photo of John smiling in a white prison shirt.
I was always in support of the death penalty, but it took me getting to know him as a human being. He is just not that person he was then. He is not that person he was. I have a whole stack of his poetry. This one is, Where Did I Go Wrong?
She reads.
Where did I go wrong, I said. Where did I go wrong in this life I lived? Where I take that wrong turn to end up like this. I used to get in trouble time and time again, but not to the extent that my life would end. Now these sinful ways I'm trying to leave in the past, even though I feel the present hitting me too fast. And now I realize you're gonna reap what you sow. So at the end of my days, as the chemicals flow, as my life slips away and my body turns cold, there's only one thing that I feel you should know. I made the best of what was left, and I let my love show. But no matter what, there's still one thing that I'll never know, and that's, where did I go wrong, go wrong, go wrong, I said. Where did I go so wrong?
Text appears over rows of tombstones. Prison Cemetery, Huntsville, Texas. Approximately 2,100 inmates are buried here. John sits waiting in an interview room. Text appears. John Henry Ramirez has been on death row for 14 years. He lives in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. After 3 stays of execution, Ramirez has exhausted his opportunities to appeal. A clock on the wall ticks. John sits behind a glass partition talking into a telephone receiver.
Been here for 14 years, and so I've had 4 official dates, you know what I mean? And this is the only date that I'm not actually fighting. Execution, it's an out for me. It's a way for me to finally leave this place, you know what I mean? It's not a good way. I mean, it's horrendous and heinous, you know, but it's an out. I can be done. I can stop hurting all the time.
He nods and purses his lips with a sneer. Outside, razor wire looms above the fence.
I'll never be able to make amends for taking a life. And I don't expect to ever go free because I'm a murderer.
Because, like, no matter what I do, what does it mean?
He shrugs, staring through the partition window.
I'll never overcome it.
He nods again, and tears well up in his eyes. He wipes them away with his fingers. A man in a blue suit walks through glass doors and down a stark hallway in an official-looking building. He unlocks an office door where a nameplate hangs. Mark A. Gonzalez, District Attorney.
I didn't know a lot about the death penalty.
He puts a records box on a conference table and opens it.
Texas leads the kill count with like 522
executions.
We should all know that if we are imposing these things on our community.
Mark Gonzalez, Nueces County District Attorney.
As the DA, you're in charge of things like life or death, and that's heavy.
Text appears. District Attorney Mark Gonzalez was elected to office in 2016 and was given jurisdiction over John Henry Ramirez's case. Mark sits at the table looking through a stack of photos.
Looking at these photos of all the evidence that they took, and it's really hard to make out, but it seems to appear to be a lot of blood from a violent death. And that's something that nobody should ever have to experience,
He furrows his brow, then flips through the plastic sleeves in a thick binder.
This is an inventory of everything that was in Mr. Castro's vehicle. You see here, he spent a lot of time in his van. Fishing poles, you know, gonna go fishing or had been. Part of me would rather have not wanted to see any of this. Because there's no way you could look at photos where it says in memory of a kind man and not hit an emotional place where you realize that shouldn't have happened to him. Then you start to learn more about John Henry and all the things that may have happened to him to put him to that spot. It seems like even before he went to trial that he had this thought that he wanted just to die, because he spoke with an individual who does evaluations for mental health issues, and he said that Mr. Ramirez, you know, wanted the death penalty. My feeling would be that he was young, and he thought that would be the most honorable thing that he could do at that time to show maybe he was sorry for what he did, right? Yeah, I killed someone, you can kill me.
John sits alone.
I hate playing that boohoo story type of aspect.
A row of modest houses ends at a blue fence that says Corpus Christi on it.
People be like, well, you know, you had such a terrible childhood.
A faded facade reads JR's Palace.
There's a whole bunch of people that grew up in that type of lifestyle that aren't murderers.
A pair of sneakers dangles from telephone wires.
So why did they end up like I ended up? Because we each have our own free will. The main source of what shaped me is really my relationship with my mother.
A photo shows young John with his mother smoking.
My mother's very abusive, physically, emotionally, verbally.
A photo of young John smiling and holding a baby girl.
Child Protective Services took me away from her when I was young because she beat me with a vacuum cleaner and split my head open. In the type of environment I grew up with, violence is glorified. My uncle, he was in the gang life. He was the one that introduced me to that type of lifestyle. But you see everyone goes to prison or gets hooked on dope.
A photo shows John in a Marine Corps combat uniform smiling at the camera.
I joined the military straight out of high school. I actually loved it, man. It was awesome pay. The base is great. You know, everybody loves a serviceman. And I was first class in everything. But I got discharged for fighting one of my superiors. Immediately jumped right back into my old lifestyle. Doing drugs. Committing crimes left and right. Basically being an ignorant, violent person.
Younger John stares out blankly from a black and white photo. A body bag is loaded into the back of a van at the convenience store.
To me, it was just a fight. And, you know, when it got to the point where I pulled out a knife and started stabbing him, he had 29 wounds. 19 of them were fatal in itself.
A diagram shows where Pablo was stabbed in the head and face.
The other 10 were defensive wounds where he kept trying to grab the knife.
A side view of the diagram shows more wounds. John sits with the receiver to his ear.
When I stabbed him in the throat and I saw that, I just stood there, it snapped me out of it, and I realized he was gone. I realized that I went too far, and it freaked me out so bad that I fled. You know?
Text reads, the night of Pablo Castro's murder, John Henry Ramirez crossed the border into Mexico. A 14-year-old Aaron speaks to a reporter.
What animals and people are to just kill him like that for $1.25, I just wish they really do something with him.
In present time, Aaron sits on a porch.
I always wanted to make sure that if no one else cared, I cared. I wrote a letter to America's Most Wanted. They posted a picture. That was the moment where I really paid attention to who the killer was.
Cops in Corpus Christi, Texas say John Henry Ramirez stabbed a man to death during a botched robbery. Ramirez is a former Marine and has this tattoo.
And that went on for several years when I was younger, that he's never going to be found.
Aaron jabs at a heavy punching bag in a gym.
Until one day I got a call. And the police chief was like, we've captured John Henry Ramirez. And then I was like, oh.
He sits expressionless, looking forward.
And then I saw him in the courtroom. I couldn't believe they actually did find him.
Younger John is shackled in the courtroom.
And I just had all the anger and hate in the world. I wanted to just beat the living hell out of him.
Younger Aaron talks to the reporter.
You have taken a life. Yours is now on the line.
Somebody kills your father. You're gonna just forgive and that's it? Justice needs to be served.
Aaron stops punching the bag. He pants and puts his hands on his head. At the prison, a fence with coils of razor wire stretches out far.
Have you written any letters to Pablo Castro's family?
John's brow creases.
I tried the first couple of dates to set up a meeting with them, and I've just never been able to do it.
He talks into the phone receiver.
I know, I'm never asking for forgiveness because, you know, I don't think I could forgive somebody if they murdered one of my loved ones. But I would try to get my point across that I understand what I did. And when I did it carelessly. Just generally, as a person, I was just a bad person, you know? And when I went to Mexico on the run, I had a lot of time to think.
Dark clouds creep across the sky as lightning illuminates the night.
I gained a whole new family.
Photos show John holding a baby.
Had a son. It just changed my whole perspective on life.
A little boy with big brown eyes stares at the camera.
His name's Israel, but we call him Izzy. I never had my dad in my life. So when I had Izzy, they always said, I'm going to be a better father than my dad.
A photo shows Izzy a little older.
And then I ended up being so much worse.
John and Israel smile for a picture with their hands held up against the partition glass separating them.
He's 16 years old now. He's a real square kid, and I'm so grateful for that.
Another photo at the prison is Izzy in front of the glass, grinning for the camera, with John behind him holding up a peace sign.
One of the courses in the faith-based section, you have to write a letter to your victim. And when I got to the end, I was like, I want you to know, you made me a better person. Yeah, I never meant to kill you, but because that happened, it's made me a better person because it's made some vast changes in who I am, you know? And it's a crappy way to say it, but it's the truth.
John nods with tears in his eyes. A tombstone sits on the grass with the Ten Commandments carved into it. Mark sits at his desk, facing his phone on a stand in front of him.
All right, guys. Good afternoon from the DA's office. I'm going to wait just a few seconds to see if anybody gets on Facebook Live. Maybe we'll have a lot of people, maybe we won't. But I wanted to discuss today or inform the community of what's kind of been going on here at the office. For quite some time, I've not agreed with the death penalty. And not only will I not be seeking the death penalty, I will not also be asking or setting dates of execution. So my heart goes out to the Castro family. There are no real winners in this case. But I feel that in the interest of justice, that our office shouldn't be involved in murdering Texas citizens.
Text appears. Mark Gonzalez asked the courts to rescind the death warrant filed by his own office for John Henry Ramirez. It's the first time in Texas history that a district attorney has tried to call off an execution for moral reasons.
I got with Mr. Ramirez's attorney, Seth Kretzer, and I joined him in a motion letting the court know why we felt the date of execution should be withdrawn. What I'm hoping is we'll get some direction from a higher court, and they'll say that I have all the authority to withdraw that date of execution.
Aaron watches news on his phone.
The proof is in the motion Gonzalez filed today. He's trying to get Ramirez's execution date withdrawn.
I, for a while now, said that I don't believe in the death penalty. My office is not going to seek the death penalty anymore.
Withdrawing or keeping the execution date is in the hands of the judge from Ramirez's trial. His attorney said...
You can't get a real moment of time to heal properly. Due process was done. Now we're changing our moral judgment.
Aaron strolls down a rural street, gazing out across the field.
For us, the victims, we thought it was going to end with justice, right? And now ultimately we're looking at possibly no execution at all.
You have taken a life. Yours is now on the line.
Aaron sits on his porch. He bows his head and rubs it a little. Text appears. 3 days to execution. Jan stands in front of a small group of people in a church meeting room. She reads a letter.
Psalm 30, verse 9 says, "What will you gain if I die? If I sink into the grave, can any dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness?" I became the godmother of death row inmate John Henry Ramirez, number 999544, after he was abandoned by his family. Last Friday, I spoke with the director of chaplaincy for all of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. The chaplain told me that if John can get life without parole, this would give him the opportunity to spend the rest of his life as a field minister, sharing the word of Jesus Christ to inmates in the prison system, wherever he is asked to serve. I am asking you, Governor Abbott, to give John Henry Ramirez a commutation of his sentence from death to life without parole. So would you be willing to sign it?
Sure.
I know you would. Come on and sign it right here. Just on the bottom, sign your name. This Wednesday is the date that he is set to be executed. So I'm driving to Brownsville today to pick up Izzy, John's son. We'll be driving to Livingston, and we won't hear until Tuesday or whenever the Lord tells the governor what he wants him to do, and pray that the governor listens.
Two birds sit perched on a telephone wire above. Mark gets dressed, putting a white dress shirt on over his heavily tattooed body.
When I first got into office, I didn't know a lot of what was right.
He waits for a cup of coffee to finish brewing.
You have to make decisions. Texas is just a different place.
Mark drives his car down a long rural highway.
I've gotten a lot of hate. And, you know, I get it. It's understandable, right? Like, this man was sentenced to death. He killed somebody.
Mark enters the Nueces County Courthouse.
I don't know that execution is the right thing to do, and I don't know if execution makes anything better.
Jan opens the door of her SUV and gets in. She prays while she drives.
Lord, I'm talking to you right now. This is me, your daughter Jan, and I am asking you to put your arms around this car. We know that you want us to go pick up Izzy. And Lord, you know that I would never say no to Israel being there for his father.
Just like you. Instead, just go worship a perfect God today in a place filled with flawed people who need grace as much as you do. And me. I need it too.
A young man in glasses with closely shaved brown hair gets into the car with Jan. Text appears. Israel Ramirez, John's son. Jan drives through the countryside. Israel looks out the window with his face reflected in the side view mirror. He gazes up at the sky, a colored mixture of oranges and blues as the sun sets. He continues peering upward as the car journeys on. Night falls, and colored lights bounce around in circles. Text appears. Execution day. The prison looms beyond the razor wire fences. Words appear. Huntsville, Texas.
You're looking live right now. We'll take you live there. Yeah, this is at the Walls Unit in Huntsville. That actually inside is where the death chamber is, where John Henry Ramirez's execution is expected to be carried out anytime after 6 p.m.
Protesters hold signs. A reporter puts in her earpiece.
On Monday, the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles unanimously denied his request for clemency. His attorneys say they've run out of legal options to appeal.
The sunshine creates a diffused glow across the sky. Words appear. The Texas Court of Criminal Appeals denied D.A. Mark Gonzalez's request to stop the execution of John Henry Ramirez. Jan Trujillo's appeal to the governor went unanswered. 3:47 p.m. John Ramirez's final phone call before being transported to the death chamber.
Hello? Yes?
This is Denise at the Huntsville Unit. Would you like to speak to John Ramirez?
Yes, ma'am.
Izzy sits on a bed with a vacant stare.
Can you call?
What's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you?
How you holding up?
I'm holding up fine. How are you holding up?
Goodbyes always suck.
I don't think if I would have raised you, I don't think if I would have stayed free, you know, the person that I was, you know, always getting high and always just being a little thug, and you know what I mean? I don't think you would have grew up to be who you are right now, because you would have been influenced by me, you know? So I am grateful for that, and I'm happy that, you know, your mom allowed you to still be in my life and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now here we are.
At the end of the line.
Yep. So that's one thing I want you to know, Izzy. I get to leave this world knowing that, you know, I get to leave this world knowing that you're okay. Sitting here having to tell.
Izzy nods, his expression softening.
My son. Goodbye.
A tear rolls down Izzy's face.
Just know that I'm always going to be there with you, mijo. Always going to be there with you. And you know what I believe, so I'll be waiting for you. What time is it? I gotta watch the clock, man. I gotta watch the clock because they cut me off, you know?
4:01.
4:01?
Yeah.
Alrighty. I love you, Izzy. It's been good, man. Thank you for everything. Thank you for being in my life and letting me be in your life.
I love you. Thank you for everything.
Alright, mijo. Bye.
Bye.
And then.
I love you too.
Bye.
Izzy pushes his glasses up and wipes his eyes. He puts his face in his hand and then sits up straight. A sign reads, "No visitors past this point." A protester plays a bongo drum. A man walks into a facility. Another protester yells at him. "Shame on you, Texas." The moon is visible in the daytime sky, hanging over the prison. More people arrive and are led into the building by guards as a news crew films them. Jan uses a cane to walk up the ramp, accompanied by three other women holding hands.
Good evening and welcome to Execution Watch on this October the 5th. This is the show that airs every time the state of Texas puts a condemned prisoner to death.
Aaron sits at home at a table, looking down at his phone.
We're going to be airing an interview from 1 year ago with John Ramirez.
Tell us about growing up. I mean, tell us about your family and all.
I don't want to do the same old song and dance. Yeah, I had a bad childhood, but a lot of people have bad childhoods and they don't end up on death row, you know?
You're a part of my bad childhood.
Opening it up for you.
Am I supposed to make myself be put on death row?
Typical childhood, you know, I'm one of the few people that actually has taken responsibility for the crime. I mean, of course.
You didn't take responsibility, you left for 5 years.
And considering, like, a life sentence, which would be the other option, now that's a real punishment. They really wanted to punish us.
Yeah, that's what you were going for. That's what he wanted this. This is such a. This is stupid. Regardless, a year ago, he still felt what he would probably feel today, unless he had this huge change of swift of mindset. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but
at this point, let's go ahead and go back to Huntsville.
Okay.
With Linda Snyder.
What are we doing?
Tell us what's happened.
The family just came across, and I guess they're getting in their car to go to the chapel now.
Aaron stares down with a knitted brow.
If you're just joining us now, John Ramirez is dead in Huntsville. Let's bring it back here into the studio with Larry Douglas, Pat McCann, and Mike Gillespie.
That
gentlemen,
is...
so many things happened in this. I was told by John's godmother, Jan Trujillo, that religion really had become his cornerstone.
Aaron looks upward and scratches his chin, then rests it in his hand. He sits there, lost in thought. His face makes subtle movements as if reacting to what he's thinking. He crosses his arms and stares forward. His brow creases and he purses his lips.
continues breathing deeply and closes his eyes. Now, Aaron stands outside his house, thinking.
John Henry Ramirez is dead. Do you know how weird that sounds?
He closes his eyes and just stands in place.
But a life was lost today. A life was taken too soon, just as it was when I was 14 years old. And I'm not celebrating. This isn't a moment to celebrate.
Aaron sits in a chair with his hands over his face. A coffin with John's body dressed in a vivid blue suit stands at the end of an aisle. The pews are empty. A funeral director brings a crucifix to the coffin and hangs it on the inside lid. He looks down at John, then walks away. John looks like he's sleeping with his arms crossed over his stomach on a bed of white satin.
Folks, we leave this place, and those of us with faith leave with hope.
Jan lowers herself into the passenger seat of a car. She holds a tissue.
Celebrate life, but to skip the grieving means that, well, you never loved, did you?
Israel stands at a sink, rinsing his face.
If you don't want to grieve, then don't love, and then you'll never feel the pain to grieve. It is not a life I would recommend, though.
A video of John from prison plays.
All of y'all that know me, I know I made the most changes I could. I buried myself as much as I could, and hopefully that's enough.
I love you.
Izzy lowers his head and gazes downward. The clouds drift by overhead. The sunlight from behind creates a pictorial glow. Text appears. Minutes before he was executed, John Henry Ramirez asked to record a message. Aaron sits in his car in his driveway. He takes a swig from a water bottle. He wipes his mouth and then looks down at the phone he holds between his legs. You know, I'm not supposed to be, like, try and contact the victims or anything. I would like to just give a general statement to the victim's son. You know, specifically Aaron Castro. And I just want to tell him, you know, I was not a good person at the time when I took his father's life. I'm sorry that I affected their lives so badly, and I did that. It's not something that is lost on me. It's not something that's, you know, just pushed aside like it's no big deal. There's nothing I can ever say to make it right. All I could do was try and be a better person. If he could find healing from my execution today, then I'm glad. But I want them to know they're not my only victims, you know. My son is my victim too, so if I could take it back, I would. And I just want him to know that I'm sorry. Aaron stares straight ahead, his face and jaw tight. He purses his lips and shakes his head back and forth.
Okay. It's not my job to judge him. That was God's. It's God's. I have to accept that and live that way. So I will accept what, you know, his apology, take it with a grain of salt, but I will accept it, and
he stares out again, motionless. His lips hang open a bit. His eyes are hazy.
I'm confused. Can I have a minute? You mind?
Aaron gets out. He He walks around the car, out of view of the camera still inside.
Oh, God. Gross.
The door opens, and Aaron gets back in the car.
Okay, I'm sorry. I accept this apology. Accept it.
He looks forward, nodding with his lips puckered. Cut to black. Text appears. John Henry Ramirez's final statement, October 5th, 2022, 6:41 p.m. CST. I just want to say to the family of Pablo Castro, I have regrets and remorse. This is such a heinous act. I hope this finds you comfort. If this helps you, then I am glad. I hope in some shape or form this helps you find closure. I am ready to go. I am ready, Warden. Other words fade away. All that's left is, I am ready, Warden. Directed by Smitri Mundra. Produced by Maya Gnit. Credits continue. Logos: Meralta Films, MTV Documentary Films.